You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200K for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks, presented by DiGiorno. Stock up on DiGiorno pizza for the big game. I guess we just call this a mock draft episode. Let's call it is what it is, Buck.
Come on, man. Everybody loves
this part of it.
They do. I feel like we've come around on mock drafts a little bit. Like maybe when we were a little younger, we could be a little more cranky about it. And then eventually you get beat up enough times, Buck. You surrender. We've surrendered to the mock draft world. Mm-hmm. You guys have your wants and your desires out there. You love mock drafts. So it's what we do. We got to give the people what they want here.
Yeah, we're going to give them what they want. I think the interesting thing about mock drafts, there are a couple different approaches that you can take to it. You can take the approach that I think we were taught how to do it is, I'm going to approach this as if I was a Cincinnati Bengals based on what I know about them, who is who I think they will pick based on what we know about them. Mm-hmm. There's some people that approach it like, hey, it's a mock draft. If I was picking for them, I would take this player, but it may not necessarily match how they traditionally operate and do things. So this mock 1.0, for me, I am using what traditionally has happened for these teams, trying to pick players that fit what they've traditionally gone after based on what we know about their GM, head coach, and how they're attempting to build their team.
Absolutely. I think that's the way you try and go about it. That's why I always laugh. People, they try and get you upset when they criticize your mock draft. I'm like, hey, it's not my opinion what I would do. This is kind of what I've heard and what I think they will do based off of their history, what they like and what they don't like. So with no further ado here, Buck, let's jump in. And the first two picks in your mock draft, chalk, right? This is what we all expect. It's what we've expected for quite some time now. The Cincinnati Bengals picking one, the Washington Redskins picking two. Who you got them taking?
So we're going to make it easy. The Cincinnati Bengals take Joe Burrow from LSU. They get their franchise quarterback, the guy who is, I mean, I'm going to call him a hometown hero because he's in close proximity where he grew up to Cincinnati. The Cincinnati Bengals are looking to upgrade the quarterback position. They want someone that can give them a little more spunk than Andy Dalton. Well, Joe Burrow is that guy. When you watched him play at LSU, you saw how he had that magical season as he led them to the national championship. When we've talked about him, quick decision maker, more athletic than most people would give him credit for, big game moxie, toughness, all the intangibles that you look for, it just sounds like he is the right franchise quarterback for the Bengals.
Yeah, I'm with you. And when you heard Zach Taylor talking about what he wanted in his quarterback, and he just said, I just want a winner. Well, Joe Burrow didn't technically lose a game last year, so I think that would classify him as a winner, what he's been able to accomplish. And, you know, we've talked about it. Get him in the right system, put the right pieces around him. He can be special. I don't know necessarily you just drop Joe Burrow anywhere and he's going to elevate everybody else around him, but I think when you have some pieces in place, he can take the whole group up to a very high level. And I think they have some nice pieces in place there in Cincinnati, and I do feel like he's the right fit there for that team. Now, the Redskins, Buck, look, they did quarterback last year in Dwayne Haskins.
Yep.
Is there any chance that they entertain doing what the Arizona Cardinals did and dip back into that water?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think maybe it's an interesting conversation if Tua Tagovailoa was healthy and ready to go. Maybe you have that conversation between do you take Tua over Dwayne? But I think this is a situation where you have a coach who has spent the majority of his entire career playing on defense. I think Ron Rivera is going to take a pass rusher. Chase Young from Ohio State, that is going to be his pick. And I think the reason why it works is when you look at this Redskins defense, they have some talented players on that side of the ball. They really tried to invest in the front line, but they're still missing kind of like what I would call that crown jewel on the defensive line. Well, Chase Young is that guy. When you look at his length, his athleticism, I think Ron Rivera could easily envision him being his version of the Julius Peppers that he had at Carolina. And so you have to be able to knock down the pass. We talked about the marquee positions in football, quarterback, left tackle, pass rusher, and corner. Well, they need another pass rusher to go opposite Ryan Kerrigan. I'm going to go with Chase Young. I think he's one of the best defensive linemen that we've seen coming to the National Football League in a long time.
Yeah, he's outstanding. And I got some grief because I used the term he was a generational talent.
Yeah.
And somebody pushed back on me, and rightfully so. I think because they said, well, look, they've just had the Bosa boys come out of Ohio State. Mm-hmm. This is as good as it gets in the National Football League right now. How can you say generational talent? I said, well, there's a difference between a generational player and a generational talent. Mm-hmm. The Bosa boys are phenomenal players. Chase Young is just bigger, longer, a little more rangy, a little more athletic. So that's to me what makes him a generational talent, not to discount anything those guys have done, and not necessarily even saying he's a better football player than those guys are. You just don't see guys like this come around very often.
No, you don't see guys come around like this very often. I think here's the distinction that I would make between Chase Young and the Bosa boys. I think there were times where, even last year, whatever, when Bosa was healthy, I think you could look at the tape at Bosa, but your eyes are attracted to number two because he's long, he's athletic, he's disruptive. And I know people will talk about, oh, in the biggest games, it seemed like he didn't do anything. Well, yeah, but he missed two games and had 16 and a half sacks. You just don't have that kind of production. And you're playing in a legit conference. And look, you and I have talked about sack production translating. I think when you look at Chase Young and the physical traits that he has, the production that he has, the motor, the intensity, the intangibles, there's a lot to like about him. And I think if I'm willing to bank on a pass rusher popping at the next level, I'm going to bank off that guy that can check off a number of boxes that you're looking for.
All right, we get to the number three pick here. You've got the Lions going with Jeffrey Okuda, the corner from Ohio State. My take on that real quick, Buck, on that decision, I think it's, you know, we're not doing trades in these mock drafts. I think that's a trade spot that could potentially mm-hmm. slide back with teams coming up for a quarterback. There's some talk maybe they could be in the Justin Herbert business with some rumors going around that that's who they, mm-hmm. they really like at that position. But with Okuda, you mentioned here in your little write-up here, you say Detroit doesn't typically take corners day one, but his game matches the Lions' scheme and fills their biggest defensive need. And I want to echo that by saying Jeffrey Okuda, to me, comparison-wise,
reminds me a lot of Stephon Gilmore, and that is the Bill Belichick, Matt Patricia, that defensive scheme. You see what they can do with those type of guys. I don't know there's much difference between Okuda's game and what Stephon Gilmore has been at the NFL level.
It's funny that you brought up another Patriot, because in my mind, I said he kind of reminds me a little bit of Darrelle Revis in terms of the toughness, the physicality. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about the prime Darrelle Revis that was really involved in the running game and doing those things. When I look at Okuda, Okuda is exactly what I want in a corner. Not only does he have the ability to play in the passing game where he can match people, he's physical, he does all this stuff, but his willingness to mix it up in the run game makes him the total pass. Package. I believe he's different than Denzel Ward, Marshawn Lattimore. To me, he's the most complete of all of those guys. May not be the most explosive, but the most complete when you look at his tool set.
All right, how about Jedrick Wills here, number four to the Giants?
So here's the thing. David Gettleman has always had an affinity for hog mollies. He likes big guys at the front. He wants to build his team in the trenches. With Jedrick Wills, I think he gives them that edge blocker to protect the young quarterback. There's some debate on which of these offensive tackles that you would kind of select as number one, because it's really a solid offensive tackle class, because you have Andrew Thomas, you got Wirfs, you have Mekhi Becton, you have all of these guys that bring different talents. I'm just saying that he's going to go with the blue collar, rough and rugged guy. I'm going to say that Wills is the one for him.
Yeah, and to me, it's interesting. I heard talking to some folks at the Senior Bowl that are tied in with the Giants organization that said, do not sleep on Wirfs from Iowa. That's a Dave Gettleman special there. He loves Wirfs. So you have Wirfs going a little bit later on here in the top 10. We'll get to him in a minute, but just another name to keep an eye on. I feel in my bones, knowing how they operate traditionally, this is an offensive lineman to help protect their young quarterback. Just a matter of who it's going to be.
Yeah, so just a matter of trying to figure out which one fits for them. It's interesting that you bring up the Iowa and Wirfs conversation, because when you think about which schools typically produce guys that play, it reminds me of, you remember when the Redskins took Brandon Scherff, and everyone's like, man, how can they take someone like that so early? But a lot of it was because Iowa's done a really good job of producing these technically sound players that can come out and plug and play right away. Maybe a conversation that the Giants have, and good thing for us, we have many more iterations of mock drafts to go through.
All right, let's get to quarterback corner here, because we've got Dolphins, Chargers, 5 and 6, two quarterback spots. Who do you have going where?
So I got Tua going to the Miami Dolphins, and then I have Justin Herbert going to the L.A. Chargers. And I'm going to say the Dolphins have always had their eye on Tua. Tua's kind of the guy, kind of fits the profile. If you think all the way back to when Nick Saban was not able to get the quarterback that he wanted when he was there, which was Drew Brees, well, now the Miami Dolphins may get a guy that has some Drew Brees-like traits. We've talked about quick release, quick-minded, ball comes out, does a great job of making things happen when he's surrounded with a supporting cast, has some special qualities when it comes to his leadership skills. I think in Miami and what they're doing and what they're building, I think he would be a great fit there. And then for the Chargers, Justin Herbert. And I'm going to say, in my mind, I think Justin Herbert is maybe an unappreciated top-tier quarterback prospect. And I'm going to say that part of it is the way that he played. Like, he didn't play great as a junior in some of those big games. And then as a senior, for most of the year, it was kind of nondescript, kind of pedestrian. But the last two games that we saw him play, the Pac-12 championship game, the Rose Bowl, he looked like a player that could manage the game at a high level. But more importantly, he brought the leadership qualities that we wanted to see. He's never going to be the fiery leader that we've grown accustomed to loving like a Tom Brady. But I do believe in his own way, he certainly connects with guys. And I think the tool set is everything that you look for in a position. Athletic, big arm, big time playmaker.
Yeah, I think it usually they always say when you leave somebody, you leave a coach or a general manager, you always try and find the opposite of what you just got rid of. If Phillip Rivers does move on, it stands to reason that mobility will factor into this whole thing, getting somebody that can move around a little bit, especially as this offensive line has some holes to fill there. Having a guy with some mobility would definitely help, and Herbert would fit that bill. All right, we get to 7. Let's go 7 through 9 here. Derek Brown, you have going to the Carolina Panthers at 7. Andrew Thomas, the tackle, going to protect Kyler Murray to Arizona at 8. And then Isaiah Simmons, arguably the best athlete in the entire draft, going to the Jags at 9.
Yeah, so let's talk about Carolina Panthers and Derek Brown and why this would work. I think at some point we talk about building our teams and building your team on defenses. You got to be strong right down the middle. I don't know if you can find a better player on the inside than Derek Brown. I just love what he brings to the table in terms of his size, his length, his physicality, his toughness. As you look at the rotation and the guys that they were kind of playing with inside, they just have to get better. They just have to find a way to kind of get more players, more disruptive players. Last year they got Brian Burns. Burns can give them, he can give them that explosiveness, that sack production off the edge. But at some point, you have to have a disruptive inside force. I think this is a guy that can help them. For the Cardinals, it's about protecting Kyler Murray. Andrew Thomas for Georgia gives them an upgrade on the edges. And I know they tried to do it with DJ Humphreys, but I think at some point you may want better. Here's a pick. And then Isaiah Simmons for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I don't really know where he fits. I just know he's a really, really good player. And I don't think you can go wrong adding good players to a defense that already has several good, young, dynamic players. Figure out how you want to deploy Isaiah Simmons, but somewhere on that Jacksonville defense, he would help this squad maybe get over the hump when it comes to their defense.
I'm thinking about three things here when it comes to building your team in the AFC as the Jags are trying to do here. And I think of, let's forecast it out for the next decade, right? We talk about trying to build your team to not only win your division, but you want to win your conference, right? You want to get into the Super Bowl. That's everybody's goal. And when I look at who are the teams you're going to have to knock off, we had the Patriots were that team for 15-plus years. That is getting ready to sail. That ship's getting ready to sail. So you're looking at the Baltimore Ravens with Lamar Jackson and the track team they've built there. You're looking at the Kansas City Chiefs in this year's Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and the track team they've built there. And then you go inside the division with the Houston Texans with Deshaun Watson and Fuller and Hopkins, and they have a track team offensively there as well. You better get athletic and you better get fast on defense if you're going to try and survive your way through the playoffs in the AFC.
It's funny that you talked about it because, as you know, as we've worked in buildings, the one thing that everyone does at the end of the regular season is you, at the end of the postseason, the playoffs and the Super Bowl, you look at the final four teams and you try to figure out, are there any common traits that exist that maybe we need to match to give ourselves a chance to get back into title contention? You talked about Baltimore and Kansas City, where that was number one and number two seeds respectively in the AFC. Both of those teams are dynamic on the outside. You have to be able to deal with the speed that they have on the outside, but you also need to have someone that can match the improvisational skills of their quarterback and some of the athleticism. So, yes, you need to compile a fast team that can handle all of those threats. Yeah, it's changing the way that you have to build your team when you think about those teams maybe lording over the AFC for the next 4 or 5 years.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to Move the Sticks presented by DiGiorno. Stock up on DiGiorno pizza for the big game. We're rolling through Bucky Brooks Mock Draft 1.0. All right, let's go 10 through 15 here, and we can highlight some players. Tristan Wirfs, mentioned earlier, going to the Cleveland Browns at 10. Mekhi Becton, the big tackle from Louisville, going to the Jets, which protecting Sam Darnold has got to be the number one goal for this team in the offseason. CeeDee Lamb, big-time receiver, going to the Oakland Raiders, give them a weapon. Jerry Jeudy followed up. Those two guys right next to each other. He goes to the Colts at 13. Javon Kinlaw, the talented defensive tackle we saw at the Senior Bowl, he goes to the Bucs at 14. And then T. Higgins, another wide receiver, going to the Denver Broncos. So kind of offensive linemen and wide receivers here in this group of picks, Buck.
So it's funny. I think we need to touch on number 11, Mekhi Becton from Louisville, because there hasn't been a lot of conversation about him maybe in the media space about this guy. But you and I have talked and how this guy is really catching a lot of attention. And the thing that stands out about Becton, his athleticism, when you go and you kind of dig into the Twitterverse, you begin to find these clips of him playing basketball. You see the light feet. You see the change of direction. You see the way that he is able to move. To me, he is the prototypical left tackle that plays for 10-plus years in the league and has a lot of success. Then we go to wide receiver alley. And I think it's going to be interesting how teams view the wide receiver position. We've talked about, man, there are like 20 to 22 wide receivers that will be drafted in the first three rounds that look like they can absolutely play. So when do you take those guys? And the reason why these three, to me, make it into the first round, CeeDee Lamb is kind of that catch and run specialist with the physicality and toughness that you like. Reminds me a little bit of DeAndre Hopkins in terms of the way that he makes these 50-50 catches. Jerry Jeudy is the most polished and precise route runner of the bunch. And then T. Higgins is just kind of that big ball 50-50 winner on the perimeter. However you stack these guys, I think it's undeniable that these guys are difference makers. They just do it in their own different way.
Yep, it's whatever flavor that you want. And, you know, it used to be back in the day, you would have just one receiver column. And then it got to the point where you'd have a receiver column and you'd have a slot receiver column. And now when I go through on my list, Buck, I'm really putting them into three different categories, which is you've got your slot receivers, you've got your technicians, right, your overall mm-hmm. route runners, and then you've got your speed guys, your over-the-top guys. So to me, it's whatever one of those guys that you're looking for to find. And you've got to try and see, okay, we're good in this area. We want one of these guys. Because comparing the two, like if you're going to compare a T. Higgins to a Henry Ruggs, for example, from Alabama, they're playing two different positions, basically doing two different things. It's kind of odd to compare them. You want to compare those big guys to each other, those fast guys to each other.
Yeah, no, I think it's hard, and I would even go so far to add another category because you talk about the slot guys, the technicians, which I view as the route runners, and then the speed guys. I think you almost have to add that big body category in terms of the power forward on the outside, because when you have T. Higgins, he kind of falls into that category where he's big on the outside, kind of like that big X receiver that most teams look for. We have talked about building your wide receiver core much like a basketball team. You have a bunch of different guys with diverse skill sets that complement one another. I think that's what we're doing, because each of these receivers that we just talked about, Lamb, Judy, and Higgins, none of their games are very, very similar at all.
No doubt. All right, why don't you take us through picks 16 through 20, Buck?
Okay, so Kalyvon Chasen, edge player, goes to Atlanta. Henry Ruggs goes to the Dallas Cowboys at 17. C.J. Henderson, cornerback from Florida, goes to the Miami Dolphins. Kenneth Murray, linebacker from Oklahoma, goes to the Raiders. And at 20, Trayvon Diggs, cornerback from Alabama, goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think the guy that kind of stands out to me is Kalyvon Chasen from LSU. And it's hard for me to kind of really put a solid grade on him, because I think I've been burned by LSU defenders and edge players for so long that I just don't know what to make of them. Going back to Barcavius Mingo, Arden Key, I just don't know how these guys kind of transition to the pros. And so when I look at Chasen, I see the athleticism, I see the burst, I see the explosiveness, which is why it makes him a potential good fit for the Atlanta Falcons. I just don't know how he holds up when you stack him with the rest of the pass rushers that could be available.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, you can kind of look at it and say, well, you've got a big-time edge rusher in Danielle Hunter that came out of LSU. Mingo, I thought there was some legitimate questions about mm-hmm. his play strength in college, and that definitely carried over to the next level. The challenge will be with the Atlanta Falcons having missed on some edge players. You know, it'll be interesting to see, because I think when you look at Chasen and you look at Epenesa from Iowa, I think Epenesa is a safer pick. He's got more production. He's mm-hmm. you know exactly what you're buying with him. I think he's going to end up climbing up through the process as we go. But then you've got Chasen, who is just an athletic special athlete, but hasn't put it all together yet. So you're betting a little bit on the future. And I just wonder if the Atlanta Falcons, having some misses on the edge rushers, Buck, if they would maybe opt to be more conservative in their approach this year.
Like that is really a very rational take on the situation, because as you and I know, like you have scars in this business. You have scars from your misses, and it really kind of affects how you think about the next one. And so when you think about the misses, and we won't call them flat-out misses, but we will say Vic Beasley and Tack McKinley haven't necessarily given them the consistent sack production that they wanted. And so both of those guys are very, very similar in terms of the way that they play. Speed rushes off the edge, can turn speed into power as collegians, maybe didn't necessarily do it as pros. So now you're talking about Chasen, who's another guy that you're trying to figure out, can he evolve and develop? I think it really comes down to who is your D-line coach and how confident do you feel about him teaching and developing individual players. A.J. Epenesa is a guy that certainly is kind of like a safer pick in terms of you know what you're getting. Higher floor, lower ceiling. So what do you want to bank on if you're the Falcons?
No doubt. Trayvon Diggs, interesting player too. Outstanding ball skills, toughness, awareness. The stopwatch will be big for him. If he could run even in just the low 4.5s, Buck, I think you nailed it. I think this is kind of the range of where he will go. The long speed's the only question on his game. All right, let's go through 21 through 25 here. You've got Laviska Shenault going to the Philadelphia Eagles, the receiver out of Colorado. Mm-hmm. Epenesa, we just mentioned, going to the Bills at 22. Xavier McKinney, the safety from Alabama, outstanding player, going to the Patriots, 23. 24, we're definitely going to touch on this one. Jordan Love, the quarterback from Utah State, goes to the Saints. And then 25, keep the safety theme going here, Grant Delpit goes to the Minnesota Vikings.
I'm going to talk about the Bills first. I'm talking about A.J. Epenesa going to Buffalo. And I think you kind of touched on it. hard-head lunch pail player, a guy with enough pass rush skills to kind of make it. To me, this is about fit. And when you think about the Buffalo Bills and the guys that they've taken of late, blue-collar guys, great workers, kind of nondescript, just kind of go about their business, he fits their profile. The big conversation that we have to have, 24, the New Orleans Saints and Jordan Love. I just can't imagine a guy like a Sean Payton. I can imagine him looking at Jordan Love and thinking about, oh, the possibilities of what could be. Being able to look at the Super Bowl on Super Bowl Sunday and see a Pat Mahomes and see Pat Mahomes do all this fantastic stuff. Not saying that Jordan Love is that guy, but I think if you squint, you can see some similarities in terms of the arm talent and the athleticism and the combination of such. Maybe, just maybe, a proven quarterback developer like a Sean Payton pulls the trigger right here to get the guy that will eventually be the heir apparent to Drew Brees.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what the Saints do. They've done a lot of homework on quarterbacks over the last few years. I know they've had Teddy, who was undefeated when he was out there for him, but I continue to just hear Taysom Hill. They're enamored with what they could potentially do full-time with somebody like Taysom Hill. We'll see what Drew Brees decides if he wants to come back and play another year. But even if he does come back, obviously, they have to be thinking about the future. Is that guy Taysom Hill, or could it be somebody like Jordan Love? That'll be interesting to see what direction they end up going. The safeties, Buck, real quick, just the difference that you saw when you look at a Xavier McKinney and a Grant Delpit.
Xavier McKinney is more at the line of scrimmage, box player, active player, a guy that can rush off the edge, a guy that's very, very involved in the run game. He's tough. He's physical. High IQ. If you think about positioning these guys, he is more of a strong safety, where I think Delpit is going to kind of make himself a free safety. The biggest thing that you had with Grant Delpit, you love the athleticism, the range and all that, the tackling. Too many missed tackles on the perimeter. And in this game where you have so many of these wide receivers that basically are running backs on the perimeter that can get away in one-on-one situations, your safety has to be a sure tackler. He has to be able to secure guys and get them to the ground. And I just don't know, based on watching Delpit the first half of the season and the second half, I don't know which one's going to show up at the facility. That's why I got McKinney over him.
Yeah, I have McKinney over Delpit as a player as well, just more consistent. Delpit had some injuries that definitely factored in this year, but I do think you hit it perfectly. You look at McKinney, he can drop down. Actually had him help with some of the communication down low with the injuries they had at the linebacker position. Very, very good in that area. And then Delpit, I think, can play some over the slot, can play kind of that high safety for you. But two really good players. All right, take us home, Buck. Why don't you take us 26 all the way to the finish line here?
Here we go. Miami Dolphins, DeAndre Swift, running back from Georgia. The Seattle Seahawks, Yetur Gross-Matos from Penn State. Baltimore Ravens take
Penn State.
You have Christian Fulton, cornerback from LSU, going to Baltimore. Marlon Davidson, edge player from Auburn, going to Tennessee. Jalen Reagor, wide receiver from TCU, going to the Packers. Curtis Weaver, edge rusher from Boise State, going with the Kansas City Chiefs. And then the San Francisco 49ers take A.J. Terrell, cornerback from Clemson.
All right, I want to dig in on a couple of these guys here. First of all, DeAndre Swift. I like this this thinking. I'm with you on the Dolphins maybe trying to fix one side of the line, one side of the ball, instead of just trying to spread out the resources. I talked to Chris Greer about this at the Senior Bowl, their general manager. I brought up that same topic. I said, when you look at this offseason, is there, you know, you need a lot of things. Is there some thought process to let's just focus on one area and try and fix it? Or is it spreading your resources evenly across the board? And really, really brought up an insightful answer, Buck, and just said, look, we're going to look at the supply and the demand. We're going to look at, you know, where we think we can get value. And if this is a draft, you know, where you feel like you've got some depth in one position, maybe they'll go in another position early, knowing they can swing back and get that other position late. So it wasn't so much offense, defense driven. It's just really, really honing in on value.
And I think that makes sense. I think when you're the Miami Dolphins, one, I think you have to like what Brian Flores has started to put into place. I think the culture that he's created, they play hard for him. They may not be the most talented team, but I think they will give you everything they have for 60 minutes. When I look at this offense and I dig down, look, they started to get some production from Devontae Parker. They have Gesicki inside at tight end. At running back, there's a bit of a hole, and so they need some explosiveness. I think Swift would give them that. They still need to fix the offensive line, but you're right. We have talked about in team building, is it better to build up a side and let that side of the ball carry you while you build up the other side? So offensively, if you're going to usher in a new quarterback, well, let's go ahead and get them the pieces so they all can grow together on that side. And maybe in free agency, you have some older players on the other side of the ball that can shore up that defense. We'll see how they elect to go. But I do think it's something that the Miami Dolphins are certainly considering. Hey, let's just build up one side of the team.
And a couple more thoughts here. Jalen Reagor can really fly there from TCU. He goes to the Green Bay Packers. I think the Packers, their loss in the postseason, we discussed it, Buck, more firepower. They've got to get some more weapons around Aaron Rodgers. Reagor will give him that. And then Curtis Weaver to the Chiefs. Classic case, bad body, good player, right? Just a little bit, not the most chiseled frame you're ever going to see.
Yeah.
But a little bit of he's got a little fleshy. I'll use that word fleshy, scouting term there. But when you watch him come off the edge, he's just got a little wiggle. He's got a great feel at the top of his rush. He's a good finisher.
Man, he's a very, very good player, DJ. When you watch him, I mean, he set the Mountain West record for sacks. He broke Jerry Hughes's old mark. Finished with 34 and a half sacks during his time at Boise State. And what I like about him, man, I love the motor. I love the first step quickness. He pounces off the ball like a cat. And you're right. It is not the best body. I mean, he's a little cookie doughy when you kind of watch him in the middle. But you have to kind of ignore that and watch the player. And we've talked about, like, the speed that you want to have. His explosiveness off the ball is a problem. He is very, very disruptive. And of late, Boise has produced some pretty good pros. I'm a bank on him being a really, really good pro down the line.
Well, there you go. You finished it up there. A.J. Terrell from Clemson, tall, long, athletic corner. You mentioned eventual successor there, potentially to a guy like Richard Sherman. So I like that pick, Buck. That was an outstanding 1.0 mock draft for Bucky Brooks. Well done, my friend. Nice.
A lot of work.
Yeah. All right. Well, leave us your opinion. Let us know what you think. I'm sure you love it. We're out of here. See you next time on Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.